Monday, 10:45. Richard Fallon. Yes, hoping the holiday's done him good, although I won't hold my breath.
A parliamentary recess is not a holiday. How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, sorry, I thought you...
Yes, OK, I was going to go to France for 10 days if I could manage to get away from my constituents and their intractable problems. Honestly, I had a man the other day who came to my surgery for advice about his verrucas. I'm serious. I said, is this a joke? What on earth are you expecting me to do about verrucas? And he said, I thought this was a surgery. I mean, you know, what is the matter with people? What do they teach them at school? So I said, very patiently, you don't want to provoke them. I said, yes, this is indeed a surgery, but I'm not a doctor. And he said, in that case, what the hell are you? So I explained to him that I was his elected Member of Parliament, and it didn't seem to have any effect at all. He just took his socks off and showed me his wretched verrucas anyway. So I said, have you tried bathing them in a solution of cider vinegar and bicarbonate of soda 3 times a day? And he said, I haven't, but I will, and went home quite happy.
Does it work?
What?
Cider vinegar and bicarbonate of soda.
I shouldn't think so for a minute. What worries me is that when it doesn't, he might come back. Actually, even more worrying, what if it does work? All sorts of people will turn up wanting their frozen shoulders thawed. The lame will be demanding to walk again. They'll be asking me to raise their relatives from the dead.
I think you're confusing yourself with Jesus of Nazareth, Richard.
Yes, OK, I was getting carried away for a moment, but you take my point. The salient thing is, whilst you imagine I'm on holiday in some French gîte, sipping rosé and giving Andouillette a wide berth, in actual fact, I'm trapped in a tiny porter cabin with people like this. Or pretending to share the satisfaction of people who, although their rubbish is only collected once a month, their estates built out of balsa wood on a floodplain, they're all on 0 hours contracts, and none of them understand what a parliamentary democracy actually is, at least they've got their country back. So, yes, I was going to France, but I didn't. I went to Newcastle for 2 days. And that's essentially where it all started to go down the pan. Have you ever been there, Newcastle?
I have, yes. It's a great city. Lovely people.
It's all a bit of a haze, to be honest. And I have to say, I blame Toby. He's applied to go to university there, so he suggested we go up and get a bit of a feel for the place, you know. I suppose I was a bit flattered, really, that he wanted me to go with him rather than some facially pierced chum. Actually, I don't think he has any chums, facially pierced or otherwise, so I was probably his only option. God, that makes me feel depressed just saying it. Where did I go wrong? I mean, you know, putting the padlock on the fridge has obviously helped enormously. He's lost quite a bit of weight. He looks less like a barrage balloon these days and more like a rather stately ocean-going liner. The Royal Yacht, maybe, if it hadn't been sold for scrap. Anyway, where was I? Right, yes, Newcastle. So I've been to the north before, obviously.
Oh.
Well, I've been to Leeds once to see Felicity Montgomery, and that, as you know, was a disaster. I'd like to say that's what put me off going back, but actually I've just never had much reason to venture past Hemel Hempstead in the last 40 years. I've never actually been to Hemel Hempstead, if I'm honest. Has anyone? But, yes, steering myself back on course here, the North. Well, we had a party conference in Manchester once, but I spent most of it locked in my hotel room with the chief whip, who was trying to get me to confess to something or other, I forget what now. But, you know, I stood my ground. He took his jacket off, I took mine off. We squared up for a fight, if I remember rightly. And then there was a bottle of whiskey, I think. After that, nothing much. Next thing, we're in a bar in the gay village. No idea how we got there. And the chief whip is being hit on by a young man in leather pants who turns out to be his son, Freddy. So, obviously, I'd got completely the wrong end of the stick. So, anyway, that was Manchester, a mass of confusion. How did I get to this? Yes, Newcastle. Well, Newcastle is absolutely nothing like Manchester. I mean, it's way further north for a start.
I am aware of that, Richard.
It's practically Scandinavia. You hear people talking in the street and you think, Norwegian, Danish, and they turn out to be Geordies. Smiley, friendly, you can't fault them on that score, but absolutely no idea what any of them are talking about. Also, it's very steep. Getting back up the hill to our hotel every night nearly finished me off. That and the alcohol. That's where it all started to fall apart. Have you ever ordered a small glass of Pinot Grigio in a bar in Newcastle?
Possibly. On the other hand, I'm not a huge fan of Pinot Grigio.
Well, a small glass of anything, then, of the winular variety. You pay your money and the barman slides over this goldfish bowl full of wine. And you think, crikey, thank God I didn't order a large. It probably arrives in an industrial tanker, which they hose into a 200-gallon vat. Then they force you into it and you're not allowed out till you've drunk it dry and you're in a coma. But hey, bit of a bargain at £4.50. So there I am with my giant small glass of Pinot Grigio, and there's Toby with his schooner of sherry. Honestly, is it any wonder he hasn't got any friends? Is there another 18-year-old boy on the planet who, when asked what he'd like to drink, asks for a medium dry sherry? Anyway, there we were, perched on these really high stools with our drinks, like the odd couple, and although I'd balked at the size of mine, soon I was ordering another one, and Toby had moved on to Cinzano Bianco. I don't actually think he likes the taste of alcohol. I think it's just the sugar he's after. Anyway, we got talking to this rather attractive woman who said her name was Shanice. That's what it sounded like, anyway. Maybe it was a posh Geordie version of Janice. Anyway, she had a rather less attractive dog with her. She said it was a Borgie, a cross between a boxer and a corgi, which, take it from me, is not a breeding experiment you want to repeat.
Ah.
She was about, I don't know, 40 or something, with black hair down to her waist. She said she used to be an Olympic gymnast, but frankly, she looked a bit on the hefty side, if you ask me. She had absolutely enormous hands. Honestly, they were the size of serving plates. If you'd asked me to take a guess at her profession, I'd have said professional strangler. She also had a really frightening laugh. But, you know, you're in a strange town. You've had a few drinks. After a while, even a Borgie begins to look cute. And anyway, the last thing I remember is more wine, masses of it, Toby ordering a cherry brandy with a Kummel chaser, and Shanice going for a double creme de menthe frappe. And that's it. Until I was woken up by my phone ringing in a bunk bed in Shanice's flat next to the Borgie. Honestly, it was like sharing a mattress with a fur draft excluder, but with really sharp teeth.
Right.
He was quite possessive about his part of the bed and wouldn't let me answer my phone. He nearly took my hand off when I tried. And then Toby came in, seemingly none the worse after trying every liqueur that's ever been invented and some that never should have been. He said, "Dad, I'm in love with Shanice." I had no idea who he was talking about, and I couldn't even figure out where I was. And then he said, a bit sheepishly, "Oh, and by the way, I think you're in a bit of trouble." Then my phone rang again, and I managed to wrestle the Borgie aside and grab it. It was the deputy chief whip asking me to explain myself. You know, I looked down. I'm in a tiny bunk bed in Newcastle-upon-Tyne with a Rupert the Bear duvet cover and an unpredictable, elongated dog. How the hell am I supposed to explain this? I can't even explain it to myself. But it turns out I'm supposed to explain something I'd posted on Twitter at 3 o'clock in the morning. Did I tell you I was on Twitter?
I'm quite glad you didn't, Richard. I'd have lost sleep if I'd known.
Anyway, apparently I'd posted, "God, I wish all my constituents would die in a gas explosion."
Oh, Richard, that's... What on earth were you thinking?
But it wasn't me. That's the thing. I mean, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was so drunk, I couldn't focus. I blame the lack of food. I bought a pork pie in the pub, but the Borgie got it.
But if it wasn't you who tweeted it, Richard, who was it?
Shanice, the fat Olympic gymnast. She and Toby, who were obviously roaring drunk, thought it would be a great joke. And, you know, I told the chief whip this when I eventually disentangled what had happened, and he didn't believe me. He said 3,000 constituents had complained, and it was going to be all over the papers, and not just the tabloids. So I told him I'd call him back, and I got Shanice up against the wall, by her throat, and I said, "What are you trying to do to me?" And she kept saying, "Calm down, take a chill pill," which of course made things worse, because then I really wanted to kill her. So she said she'd sue me for assault, and I said I didn't believe she'd ever been a gymnast of any stripe, and she admitted that actually she was a professional clairvoyant who once did that thing where you skip around with ribbons when she was 13 or something.
Ah.
By this time, we were both exhausted. I was sitting on the floor crying. Shanice was offering to make some herbal tea. And Toby was going, "It was just a joke, Dad," over and over again. So I said, "Tell that to the deputy chief whip. Tell that to my constituents." And here's the thing. He did. He called him and said, "I'm really sorry. It was me hacking my dad's Twitter account after one kummel too many." So now Toby's all over the papers, as well as me. One of the kinder tabloids described him as portly. Another one described him as chubby, alcohol-crazed, and part of the metropolitan entitled elite. Poor bloody sod. God, I love that boy. He's just pure, unadulterated goodness. God knows where he gets it from. I haven't even got to the bit about him falling in love with Shanice. How long have we got?
I'm afraid your time's nearly up.
She's 43 and he's 18. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's got to stop. I went to the police and asked if they could put an electronic tag on him. But they said, "No, he hasn't committed an offence." So I said, "What about her, you know, Shanice, who lied about being an Olympic gymnast?" Apparently that's not an offence either. Anyway, I've grounded him, which he says I can't do because he's legally an adult. But, you know, emotionally, he's about 4 and a half. I'm in despair. Seriously. I've got the opposite of the Midas touch. Everything I touch turns to scrap metal, including my own children.
I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today, Richard.
Yeah. I'm going. It's exhausting being me, you know that. I mean, sometimes I just like to run a greengrocer's or something. You know, pound of bananas, that'll be 85p. Thank you. End of transaction. Next, please.
Richard.
Yeah, OK. I'll see you on Friday. Bye. Bye, then.